Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about a phrase that shows up in the Bible. It is one of the most tragic statements in the entire book. And that statement is this: God gave them up. God gave them up. When God gives you up to something and leaves you alone to go after it, you're well nigh hopeless at that point. Notice the progression of your downfall when God gives you up. We're going to start in Psalm 81, verse 12. Psalm 81, verse 12. The verse says, "So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Now the context is Israel, and they were walking in the wilderness. He says in verse 8, "O my people, I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Now lust is seated down in your heart. And when you decide that you want to fulfill the lust of your flesh, the lust of your mind, okay, when you decide that you're going to give in to that, what God will do at some point is He will give you up to your own heart's lust. According to James, once lust conceives, it brings forth sin, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. The verse says, "Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Now, you may not realize this when you get started on the path of lust, but the path you are on is a deadly path. Because on this path, you are walking in your own counsel. You are listening to what you want to do, to what your heart wants to do. You actually have conversations with yourself about what you're doing. And when you are your own counselor, you have a fool for a client. There's a lot written on following your lust. The common thing today, of course, is sexual in nature. It's very common. And when you read the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 5, for instance, here the Lord is talking about a strange woman. In verse 3, "The lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, her mouth is smoother than oil. But," verse 4, "her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell." Now, you don't think about that the first time you go to the strip club, or the first time that you find a woman that's willing to pretend that you're married so that you can enjoy the relationship. Okay, and what you don't realize is that you have begun to walk on a path that is determined by your own heart's lust, and now realize that there are people who have been captivated by this or enamored by this premarital lovemaking, and get away from it after a period of time because it really is something that's beautiful and reserved for marriage. And so they don't stay on that path. when somebody gets started on this path and can't get off, the problem, among other things, is the Lord has given you up to your own heart's lust. Now, there are people who get on this path and truly, truly, they are holden with the cords of their sins, just like Proverbs 5:22 says. So the first thing he does is he gives you up to your own heart's lust. You think, I'm just going to go out and drink a beer with the boys. And the next thing you know, you can't quit drinking. I'm just going to go out and try that cigarette. And the next thing you know, you can't quit smoking. You say, I think when I just go out, they were smoking marijuana, I thought I'd have me a toke, or whatever they call it. And the next thing you know, you can't quit. You know what's happened? They say you're addicted. Well, that's one side of the equation. The other side is God gives people up to their own heart's lust. They get stuck. And I'm going to tell you something. When God gives you up to it, you no longer have God there to help you stay away from it. Do you understand? He's given you up to it. Now this thing progresses. It gets worse. The next thing he does, he gives you up to idolatry. I can just hear the smirks and the laughter in the background as you think, oh, he's crazy, you know. I know when to stop. This is only between me and my girlfriend and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I've watched marriage after marriage destroyed with the very thing you're messing around with right now, because what happens is you settle down with your girlfriend and eventually you get married. But the trouble is the lust is still seated down in your heart, and what you did in getting started early has now crept back into your heart, and it is directed towards somebody other than now your wife. And the next thing you know, you have started an affair. Or you're hooked on pornography. Or your mind is reeling with lust, and you're wanting to step out of your relationship with your spouse and expending all of that energy back into your marriage, and it is coming in half-hearted, and you don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you what's happened to you. I realize that there's a sin there that you're having to deal with, but let me tell you something. You messed around with this path thinking, ha, 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 I can do this. Everybody does it. God's not going to get me, and God gave you up to your own heart's lust, and you're now being beat to death by the very thing that you wish you could get out of, and now you can't, and you're wondering why. That's why. There are a lot of married men that are still hammered by that sin in an inordinate way. And the reason is, just as the Bible says, God said, okay, that's the way you want to play it. I'll give you up to your own heart's lust. You deal with it. And then he gives you up to idolatry. Acts chapter 7, verse 42. I know I spent a little more time on that first point, but we've got to drive it home. You got to understand what the problem is. Acts chapter 7, verse 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. These are the Jews again. They wouldn't obey the Lord. Okay, and then they wanted to go back into Egypt. They made a golden calf. Okay, and so the Bible says, then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. While they were in there in the wilderness, those older guys that were dying out there, they took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god, Rimphan, the Bible says, in verse 43. Listen, when the heart of the Jews turned back to Egypt, they made this calf and worshipped it, you know what? Not only did they end up worshipping that calf, but they ended up worshipping the host of heaven. And what happens to you is once you give up to your own heart's lust, or you're given up to your own heart's lust, and you're your own counselor, then that's not enough. You know what happens? You start worshiping something else. Now today the idolatry is found in these things, the worship of the human body. You say, really? Oh, look at the concentration on nutrition. Look at the concentration on health clubs and fitness centers. Look at the concentration of advertising with the human body. Look at the infatuation with the human body and all the ways that it's trying to be portrayed in movies and television and other, you know, in art and every other way, the worship of the human body. This idolatry is also found in the accumulation of possessions. People can't seem to get enough. They've got to have more money and more cars and more toys and more houses, and it just doesn't seem to have an end. The idolatry is also found in the stimulation of the imagination. Again, we turn back to the movies and the internet and all these other methods that are being used to stir up the imagination and give vision to the idol of your heart. And then, of course, the most obvious one, or one of the most obvious ones, the science of evolution, where men are now worshiping the creature more than the Creator, who is God blessed forever. Now, when God gives you up to idolatry, what happens is you don't want to read the Bible, you don't want to worship God, you don't want to go to church, and you're infatuated with possession and sexuality and imagination and evolution and all those other things that people are all stirred up about today. And you say, well, why, you know, listen, if evolution weren't true, so many people wouldn't believe it. God's given you up to it. God's given you up to it. That's the problem. So much so that you're absolutely blinded to the true logic and faith of the very science you profess to believe. Evolution has not and never will offer a scientific explanation for the origin of life. Hypothesis, yes. Scientific explanation, no, not now, not ever. They keep saying, well, in about 10 more years, we'll have 10 more years. A billion more years and they won't have it. Why? Because life didn't start by evolution. The law of biogenesis says that life begets life. And so there is no spontaneous generation. There can't be by science. But you see, you are so given over to this now, and God has given you up to it now, that you can't believe creation. You won't. You refuse to. And you can't explain how you got here. I mean, scientifically. Then what happens is God gives you up to uncleanness, Romans chapter 1. Here you clearly see the evolution. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, they knew God, but they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. That's what you see in the movies these days. They're all animated. Wherefore, verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. There's your evolution. In verse 25, now notice God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. So that lust in the first point that works through the idolatry now shows up in uncleanness to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now uncleanness is best defined in the Bible as simply unholiness, something that's not holy. I mean, there's a number of definitions that you could give it, but the broadest, best definition is unholiness. And notice that it starts with the lust of the heart. And then it manifests itself in the dishonor of your body. Well, if you're saved, your body is the temple of the, get it, Holy Ghost. Your body is to be holy. Be ye holy, for as I am holy, the Lord says. All right, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It is, if you're saved. All right, so if it's the temple of the Holy Ghost, then in that body you are to do holy things. When you tend to uncleanness, you're doing unholy things. Now, in your body also, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So when you are given up to uncleanness, you start defiling the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're not glorifying God. You say, well, how can I do that? There are many ways. Paul told the Thessalonians that when he came there to preach, he did not come with guile and deceit and uncleanness. In other words, some impure, unholy motive for being there. When you look at Christianity today, there are a lot of people who are promoting their brand of Christianity simply as a method to address a large audience of gullible people who believe that these folks are just like they are. Let me give you an example. Christian rock music. That is unclean music. It's not holy. It's being performed by people who may profess to be Christians, and they may really be Christians. I think some probably are, and I think some probably aren't. But they all profess to be Christians, and they write, and every once in a while they'll throw the word Jesus in there. But that music is very sensual, and it's very much the love relationship that spouses would have for each other. And it's all directed toward the Lord so that you get that gushy, sensual feeling inside of you as you worship the Lord, and you mistake that gushy, sensual feeling inside of you as the work of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God's nowhere near that work because it's unholy. It's really unclean music. God has virtually nothing to do with it. And yet, because you have the sensual feeling, because it's that earthly, sensual, and really devilish feeling, you even sense a spirituality to it, but it's not holy, it's unclean. And you know what happens? Today, now, God has given up, some of these are Christians, some aren't, but the professing Christians, he's given them up to uncleanness, and now they dishonor their body between themselves. Then it goes from there, and he gives you up to vile affections. This thing is like falling down stairs. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So now God gives you up to vile affections. So watch how this thing has degenerated. It starts with just simply following your own heart's lust and then your own counsel. Winds up in idolatry so that you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping things, or science falsely so-called. Then you're given up to uncleanness so that you can no longer make a distinction between those things that are holy and those things that are unholy. And I pointed out the music, and I'll tell you what, when you visit with folks that are professing Christians that are wrapped in all that stuff, there is no distinction between them and the world whatsoever. You can't tell anything apart. They're unclean. They're like the world. And then he gives you up to vile affections. Now, the context of vile affections in Romans chapter 1 is clearly homosexuality. Men with men, okay, they burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Clearly homosexuality. Yes, the New Testament opposes homosexuality just like the Old Testament does. There's no difference. In the Old Testament, it's called an abomination. In the New Testament, it's called a vile affection. And God did not change his mind about this sin so that you could get away with it on this side of the cross. Now, I'll grant you, most definitely what you are feeling for your partner is affection. People say, well, I love this person. He calls it affection. There's no doubt that you feel affection. It's just that according to the Lord, that affection you have is vile. Now, once you've been given up to it, you feel justified that God made you that way. And that's not true. He gave you up to that affection. There's a huge difference. God was undeniably involved, but not the way you're thinking. You're thinking he made you that way. That's not true. He gave you up to that. That is true. In other words, you already started heading in that direction. God just let go and said, okay, if that's the direction you want to go, I'll take my hands off of it. Help yourself. You see that? Yeah, today I know Christians, and I'm not talking about professing Christians. I'm talking about the real McCoy, saved, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that are now caught up in this thing. You know what happened? God just took his hands off of his child and said, if that's the direction you want to go, help yourself. You want to play in the traffic that bad, then fine. And there they are. And then they say, well, you know, I've been this way all my life. God made me this way. No. He lets you go. He lets you go. He gave you up to vile affections. Then notice this. As you continue that fall down the stairs, he gives you over to a reprobate mind. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, you may still call the God you worship God, but I guarantee you, you're not worshiping the God of the Bible when you get into Romans 1:28. You don't. Because you left that God back in Romans 1:21. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So the God you now call God in 28 is some idol of your heart. Because you did not like to retain God in your knowledge, so God gave you over to a reprobate mind. Do you understand that? That's a mind void of the knowledge of God. Listen, when you are in a reprobate mind, you are not in your right mind. And so the sins of Romans chapter 1, verses 29, 30, and 31 seem perfectly normal and legitimate to you. It's okay to be unrighteous. It's okay to fornicate. It's okay to be wicked. It's okay to covet. It's okay to have malice toward somebody. Envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Do you hear that? Without understanding? Without understanding? Of course you're without understanding. Your mind is not sound. Covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Those sins, they seem perfectly normal. You know, I know people today that are Christians that are caught in this very state on the second to the last step before the basement, okay? And they don't like the God you like. They don't love the God you love. They're disobedient to parents. They don't understand what they're involved in. They have broken covenants. They don't have natural affection. They are implacable, which means their appetites for what they do are insatiable. They don't have mercy. They are full of envy, and so forth and so on. You see it. Now, they don't see it because they're without understanding. They look in the mirror, and they think they are perfectly right to be doing what they're doing. And can justify it and can argue it, can even show you a bunch of scriptures to prove that what they're doing is fine. But the trouble is, they have a reprobate mind and they don't think like you think. So you try to argue with somebody that's wrapped up in evolution and heading through these vile affections, you're not going to get anywhere arguing with a person like that. And the reason is, your mind is tracking with God and their mind is tracking with reprobation. They can't get it. And they never will get it, not unless there's a true repentance with God and God puts them back in a right mind. Listen, that man in the Gadarenes in Mark chapter 5 was a crazy, crazy man, running around naked, cutting himself supernatural strength, couldn't be bound with fetters, chains couldn't hold him. And when Jesus Christ cast the devils out of him, the Bible says he was seated and clothed and in his right mind. You need a sound mind to see how wrong you are. The Bible says God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Now, when your mind is sound, it's easy to see your error. And here I am talking to you, but you may be right where I am with the Bible in this sermon here, and you may be thinking about somebody that you know that's caught in the very things we're talking about here, and you're saying to yourself, man, I see it, but why can't they see it? Mine's gone. Mine's not sound. Mine's reprobate. And you know what happened? God gave them over to that reprobate mind. And unless God turns that back, and unless God turns that vile affection back, unless God turns that uncleanness back, they're not going to be able to get loose of that thing. That's why the Bible says when you're talking to somebody like that's caught up in this sin, that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, what God has to do, God has to grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, because he's the one that gave them over. We are to be in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, they're not coming out of that thing just because they say, I don't want to be this way anymore. They're held with the cords of their sins. The only way out is for God to let them go. And he knows their heart well enough to know whether they're really coming in repentance or not. If they're just coming with a guilty conscience, they're still stuck. And you know what eventually happens? He gives you up to desolation. He gives you up to desolation. He gives you up, first of all, to your own heart's lust. Then he gives you up to idolatry, so you're no longer worshiping the true God. He gives you up to uncleanness, so now you're doing unholy things. He gives you up to vile affections, and now, you know, that goes as deep as homosexuality. He gives you over to a reprobate mind, so everything you're doing seems perfectly normal. And then he gives you up to desolation, which is what he did to Israel. in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 7. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Be not like your fathers and like your brethren, which trespassed against the Lord God of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to desolation," as you see. In Romans chapter 1, the end of the chapter says it this way, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death." They know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now this is when the full brunt of your wickedness hammers you down. Your life spirals out of control and you wind up totally consumed by the sin that's trying to finish you off. And I'll tell you what, if you're down that far, like I've said, you're well nigh hopeless. The place to stop this disastrous ruin is at the beginning. Deny your own heart's lust and do not walk in your own counsel. Read the Bible, follow what it says, go to church, listen to what the pastor says, follow the Lord, pray, listen to the leadership of the Spirit of God in your life. When the lusts come up, say no, deny yourself, self-denial, and you won't end up on this road. Now, you may find yourself part of the way down here. You know, like you're already given over to your own heart's lust, listen to your own counsel, and you see that the God you think you've been worshiping is the right one, and you're already involved in unclean and unholy things. You know what you need to do? You need to get off the road. You need to beg God in repentance to allow you to get back into His will and out of the captivity of the devil. That's what you need to do. I tell you what, I can't tell you how important this message is, but I tell you what, if you'll follow it, believe it, and do what God says, we'll pray that God will peradventure grant you repentance or give you repentance to the acknowledging the truth that you may recover yourselves from the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.